Welcome to the Connected for Real podcast. I'm Revitin Batren Grossman, a marriage coach for women in business. And my mission is to bring God's presence into your life, into your marriage, and into your business. Let's get started. And we are live. Welcome everyone to the Connected for Real podcast. I'm Revitin Batren Grossman, and today with me is Nechama Kaplan. We are talking about renewal and God, and this is so exciting. You guys know that my entire business is built on four pillars: God, marriage, business, and you. God is at the core. Your marriage and your business are two huge parts of your life that sometimes pull you apart. So we really address that and make sure that they work together. And then you, as the container of all that, holding, expanding, creating capacity. So today we are focusing on renewal, especially because we're getting very close to the new year and the renewal of the world. So Nechama, introduce yourself first and then we'll get into it.
Sure. My name's Nechama Kaplan. I live in Sfat, which is in the north of Israel, which is currently under fire. We had 200 rockets yesterday. But I moved to Israel when I was in my 40s, and I became religious in my 30s. And every decade is bringing new renewal to my life. Actually, in my 50s, I started doing energy work. So we went from the 30s to becoming religious, the 40s to moving to Israel, and the 50s to energy work. And there's a constant state of renewal at every stage and every day, actually, of our lives. So, yeah. So I have a very eclectic past. I was a All-American athlete. I went to Harvard. I was a advertising executive for the internet in the early days. And then I kind of took a step up and I ended up learning about the Torah, learning about Judaism, learning about my soul. And so then I got married, I had children, and then I ended up moving to Israel 10 years later. And when I moved to Israel, I didn't really know very much about mystical Judaism. And as you may or may not know, Sfat is the city of Kabbalah. So God actually wanted me to come here so that I could spend the past 13 years learning Kabbalah, which I have done. I teach Hasidus, I teach Tanya. I'm on Chabad.org on the daily Tanya recordings. That wasn't really enough for me. Not to say it wasn't enough. Like in your daily life, it has to become practical. The Torah and Hasidus, the purpose of Torah is to change us. It's not just some, you know, beautiful wisdom. It has to become integrated all the way down into our nervous systems. It has to be a complete transformation of the person. And so from all of my learning in the Torah aspects of changing our personalities and upgrading ourselves to be our best version of ourselves, I found that, you know, I don't know if anybody's familiar with the dual soul reality that the Jewish people have a godly soul and they have an animal soul, human soul. And so when the human soul is injured, it's blocked, there's distortions, there's trauma, there's fear, there's life hits, you know, and not only our life, but ancestral issues or past life issues, whatever, our godly soul can't enter into its full potential because there's a part of us that's blocked. So I just became very interested in trying to figure out how can I help people unblock the human aspects of ourselves, which, by the way, is done by design. God wants us to go through these struggles because it's only through the darkness of our struggles that we're able to reveal this greater light of our soul. And so I feel that the combination of working on the human element of just living your life as a regular person with all of our struggles and figuring out how to integrate the godly element into that whole picture. So not only do we become renewed as a human being, but we become renewed as a godly soul in this world, which is our purpose for being here.
Wow.
Yeah. So my work actually, it's not just my work. This is the work of all the people that I know. All you guys, you're definitely working in this realm, but I mean, like 100%, you've helped me so much in the coaching that I've done with you. But it's really trying to really figure out how to fuse those two together. Because we're not just supposed to be angels, you know, flying up in the heavens and having spiritual meditation sessions all day. Like, that's not what God intended. He intended us to use that in a human body, as a mother, as a wife, as a business person, to really fuse those two elements. So it's not, you can't just be human and you can't just be godly. It's the both of them together, which is why I just love your four pillars, because it really is talking about this fusion of the human and the holy, so to speak.
You know, that's why I called my business Connected for Real, because anytime I asked people what makes me special, like, why are you coming to me for advice and not anyone else? Like, you're so connected, but you're so practical. You're so up there, but you're so down here, right? The ability to bring them together is a real superpower.
Superpower. Superpower. And that is what I personally feel that the Jewish women are leading the world into this space of real. What's real? Real is being able to fuse your true self with your true self, you know, like your true godly self with your true, like, I'm a mom, I'm a wife, I'm a business person, I'm a sister, I'm a mother. But just because you're all those things, it doesn't mean it's holy. You know, you can be a business person who's totally not connected to God, or you could be a business person who's totally connected to God. It's the same you. It's just what lens are you allowing yourself to see your life through? And when you do it, like you're saying, through this lens of God, of the Torah, of truth, just even we're just going to put it in that framework, that's the ultimate purpose of creation. I mean, it's no small thing. We're talking about the purpose of creation itself is this fusion.
Wow. That's beautiful. The purpose of creation is the fusion. It's the integration, right? It's not that there's two parts and we're here trying to struggle, you know, for no reason. It's like, that is the goal. That's the point, you know? That actually makes me very excited, because can I share with you something? This week, I went to a workshop that this woman did. Her name is Tanya. I'm going to have her on my podcast because she was so awesome. But she brought art supplies and journals for everyone. And then we learned a little bit of something. Like, she read very short, three lines. And we had to journal on what that means to us. And then we did a meditation that brought it to the, you know, deeper levels. And then we got to do art to express that. It was so powerful. So I want to just share with you, because it blew me away a little bit. The paragraph that she read was about the saying, open up for me an opening as small as an eye of a needle, and I will open for you the expansion of, you know, halls, you know, the openings of halls. And then it said there, somebody's commentary, that the opening of the eye of the needle doesn't have to be big and it doesn't have to be gigantic, but it has to be only for me. You know, God is saying, open a part of your life that's just for me. And that really bothered me. And in the journaling part, I wrote, what does that mean? I don't even know if I'm living that way. I don't know if I have a part that's just God, because God is in everything I do. And because I'm so multi-passionate and multi-talented and multi-everything, and I'm just, I mix and I integrate. That's what my essence is. I don't know if I have that. And I started getting worried. And so I wrote in the journal, like the journal page, you know, she didn't give us that much time, but there was basically, how do I know if I have this? How am I supposed to know if I'm, you know, on the wrong track or what's going on? And then how do I create it? And then she says, okay, everybody, we're starting the meditation. So I was like, okay, fine. And I just left it. And in the meditation, we went into a field because, you know, now with the month of Elul, King is in the field. We went to the field, gorgeous field. Here I am. I'm so excited. I'm looking at the, you know, I'm having a great time in this meditation. And then I see, you know, I didn't see anything that actually looked like anything. It just, I knew it was God's presence somehow. And I ran towards and felt very hugged, but it wasn't physical. I just felt really held. And I went down, hands and feet straight, like a real hishtachavaya, the way that we go down in the temple. And I was like shaking in the meditation. I was like, wow, this is so. And then in the meditation, I'm thinking, wait a minute, I'm not in the temple. I'm in the field. I'm not allowed to be on the floor. I'm supposed to be. And it was so funny how I'm trying to like convince my, like trying to figure out the two dichotomies that are happening here. You know, I'm in the field. I'm not supposed to be on my, but God is right here. And I'm been, you know, whatever. It was very funny. But then she said, okay, now come back to your chair. And I was like, no, I'm not done. I didn't ask him yet. So I did not come out of meditation. I was going to get the answer. So I said to Hashem, I said to God, where is this place in my life that's just for you? And God said, don't ask questions. Just keep going. You're doing fine. Like, I'm proud of you. Just keep going. And I thought, okay, you know, and that's when I finally was like, okay, I'm coming back to the chair, because they started touching the art and I started listening to the ruffles and stuff. But it made me realize that, you know, this is one way of looking at it, and it was fine for everybody to hear, and that was perfect. But for me, it pushed me even further into that integration, because in my life personally, and I'm not saying about anybody else, I can't have just anything. I have to be able to infuse all of it.
It's beautiful. That's beautiful. I mean, that's really what I wanted to talk about today, actually, when we're talking about renewal. I mean, you're living the embodiment of the purpose of creation, according to the Hasidic masters. You know, I mean, I think they know what they're talking about. But I was learning something very beautiful from the Lubavitcher Rebbe about Rosh Hashanah and about renewal. And it says, Zeh Hayom, this is the day, Tchilas Ma'asecha, that the beginning of your works, which is something that we say in the Musaf, the afternoon prayer during Rosh Hashanah. And so it's very interesting. It says, this day, Zeh Hayom. But Zeh Hayom, Rosh Hashanah, because Hayom is known to be the tagline for Rosh Hashanah, Hayom. It's not the beginning of Hashem's works. It wasn't the beginning of God's works. The beginning, God created the world 6 days earlier on the 25th of Elul, which is on Shabbos, I think, this year. So how is it possible that if the beginning of your works is on Rosh Hashanah, what was God doing on the 25th of Elul? And the explanation is the 25th of Elul is the creation of all of reality. That all of reality came, and in that one day, the potential for all of creation was made. And in the subsequent days, it took form, and the plants were formed, and the animals were formed, and the birds and whatever. But on that first day, every single thing was formed, and it was a complete oneness of God at that time. So what happened on Rosh Hashanah that makes it so special? It's the beginning of your works. Is because God blew into the nostrils the breath of the soul of man. And so what, and that becomes the soul of man, becomes the purpose of creation, which is what? Which is that we integrate God into the world. God is already in the world. It actually says Yom Echad, one day, the first day. It's the one day. Why does it say Yom Echad? Why does it say one day and not Yom Rishon, the first day? Because on that day, on the 25th of Elul, when God created everything, God was totally one. He was totally revealed. He was totally there. It was Gan Eden. So why did he have, what's so special about Rosh Hashanah? It's because we have to improve on the garden. We're not supposed to have the same Gan Eden that Adam and Eve had. We have to have an integrated garden, where it's not just the lichnasa coming from God, he's creating it, he's making it, bringing it into existence in every moment. It's that through our work, through our infusing God into the everyday, into the garden, that's the ultimate purpose of the whole story. So it's what you're doing, according to the Hasidic masters, that's exactly what we need to be doing. You're not supposed to have any part of your day that's devoid of God. So you're like way ahead of the game. You know, you don't have like this little corner of your life where you're like, no, this is just for me, you know, or maybe you, I don't know.
I probably do. I'm not perfect. Let me tell you 100%.
I'd heard a very great story where someone was saying like, they got really angry and they were like, God, I'm just putting you in the closet for a little bit and I'll come back. Right now, I'm just going to be in my own anger. And I think that's the ultimate renewal. The ultimate renewal is recognizing that there's two spirals going on at every moment. There's the spiral of humanity, the spiral of just the human. God is recreating everything in every moment. It's a very being, very present in our reality. That's nature. But then there's a higher order that we're being called to task to do. And that is when God blew into us our soul. Our soul is what gives us the power to infuse the godliness into the mundane, regular nature aspects of life. So the more that we're doing that, the more, and we're continually upgrading ourselves. And that's the whole idea of the shofar, is that we're blowing back to God, basically, and saying, like, you gave me my soul, now I'm going to give it back to you. And only after that happens does the new light of the year come down upon the world. Every year, a new light comes down on Rosh Hashanah, a light that was never in the world before. And the only time that new light comes is when we call to it from the depths of our soul. So this is basically what we're saying. Like, creation is relying on our upgrading and renewing ourselves and integrating God into all the aspects of our life. That's what's going to draw down the light for the new year. So, Kol Kavod to you.
Oh, that's so... So beautiful. When you said about that example of, like, you know, I'm angry now, so I'm going to put you in the closet. So I actually really like the integrated approach, which is, I'm angry now, so I'm going to take it out on you. You know, I'm going to be angry with you because I know you're the one who did this. And I'm so limited and I can't see. So I'm going to tell you how angry I am so that you can calm me down. It's such a helpful thing to do, by the way. If anybody wants to try this, write an angry letter to God. Like, what do you think? You don't know what you're doing? What was this? Blah, 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 right? And as you're saying it, you realize how little you are and how lacking we are in our ability to understand the bigger picture. It allows us to be turning to the right source as opposed to being angry with people or angry with things or angry that they left me out or angry that whatever. Like, all these sideways things, right? The people in our lives, the situations, those are all the wrong things to be angry at.
Right.
You know, bottom line, God did it. So now I'm angry with you and I want to turn to you and say, please help me, you know, help me see, help me understand, help me figure this out, help me get through it, help me learn what I need to learn from it. It's a really big mindset shift.
Yeah, no, I love that idea that wherever you are, God is with you. I mean, that's the truth. And especially if you don't understand why. I think one of the biggest issues we have as a society now is that we blame. Everything's blame. Blame, blame, blame. But if you realize God is recreating the world at every moment, who are you blaming? Like, God's in every person who comes to you. You know, it actually says that David HaMelech, the King David, he couldn't. When someone cursed him, Shimi cursed David HaMelech, he didn't get mad at Shimi because he realized that the energy of God was animating Shimi. So he was like, okay, God, what's the story here? Like, you're just using this guy. Okay, so Shimi didn't have to do it. That's the truth. We all have free will. But what you're saying is so critical that we have to realize, turn the blame to God. Because he's the one who's creating everything at every moment. And so when we do that, it, like you said, like when you write the, it causes a lot of humility. You realize, like, I'm so small and I don't understand.
You know why we don't do it? Because we are so separate. Because we separate in our minds God and our lives. So, of course, I'm not going to turn to God and be angry with him. What is wrong with you? You have to have respect. God is God, right? So we understand that God is God and that, you know, I'm not going to talk to him like that. But then in that moment, what you're not connecting is that God is the one to blame. Like, he is the reason why this happened. So when you can let yourself be human with God, that's when you're integrating. That's when it's actually going to start to feel like one, because you don't have to hold yourself back from being human. When you think of God, that's a separation. The integration is understanding that God made me human and I am supposed to be annoyed and it's okay for me to feel feelings and I need to turn to him as opposed to, you know, putting him aside.
100%. 100%. To me, that's like the core entry point to a relationship with God, is when you realize that there is no separation. I mean, I think a lot of people were raised to think God is out there and I'm here and I'm living my life and, you know, I can bring God down into my reality. But the truth is, that God is everything in every moment. And he created a reality where the separation is part and parcel of the creation. Because if God was everywhere at every moment and there were no concealments of that, we wouldn't exist as human beings, right? So there has to be a concealment. But the breaking through into, I think, the next level of consciousness is really understanding what you're saying, which is, no, there's no separation. Separation is a lie. Anytime you feel separation, it's like lights should start going off in your head and be like, okay, I got caught in a lie here, because that's actually not what's happening. So, and I think, you know, people come at this in different ways. And the way that it resonates for me is just this idea of being very present in the now. When I'm in the present, I know that God is recreating this moment. And so when I'm in that moment of like, yeah, God is creating this. So it's the only truth is that whatever's happening to me at this moment is being directly given to me in this exact way, because it's for me to heal and for me to wake up and understand. It's for me. Like every trigger, everything that happens to us is like a coded private message from God. That's the way that I look at it. It's like, why did you get into a fight with your husband today? There's some message from God in that. And so instead of getting angry at your husband, just be like, God, wow, you love me so much. You're giving me a private coded message. Can you help me figure out what it is? You know? So, yeah.
Hey, before we continue the episode, I want to ask you something. Are you ready to get answers from God directly? Feel more in love with your husband and more supported than ever? Run the business of your dreams without having to sacrifice any other part of your life? That is exactly what my one-on-one private coaching is for, and I want to invite you, just you and me, for a free deep dive discovery call. This is a 60-minute free call where I ask you lots of questions and we extract the three main things that are holding you back. I then put together a personalized plan for you where I create a roadmap of recommendations with practical steps. The call is free and so valuable in itself, so go book yours today. Now, back to the show.
Yeah, I love that. Can we talk a little bit more about God recreating the world every single second, every moment? Because I think it will open up a lot for us in our understanding of what we can tap into when we understand that fully.
This was a real change. Like, it changed my life when I really started to integrate. The place that I learned this was from Rabbi Schneer Zalman of Liadi, who was the first Chabad Rebbe. He's called the Alter Rebbe in the Lubavitch movement. But the Baal HaTanya, the master of the Tanya, he wrote the Tanya. The second book of the Tanya, which is like the magnum opus of Chabad Hasidus, is an explanation of the creation of all reality. And he teaches from the Baal Shem Tov, which is from a Medrash in Tehillim, that it says, oh, forever your word stands firm in the heaven, which means God's word that he used to create reality when he spoke the 10 statements of creation into reality, they never stopped. So when God said, let there be light is a constant frequency that's going out into the world at every moment. Every single letter, when we speak, because everything that, you know, we can only understand God when we understand ourselves. It says, from my own flesh, I can perceive God. So when I can understand what speech is to me, you know, millions and trillions of infinite levels of beyond that is the way we can understand God. But when I speak, the words that come out of my mouth have a frequency, have a measurable frequency, and the letters. And that's how God creates reality. He's creating reality through these letters, which is a part of him. This is a very important part of the whole story. It's not like God spoke something and it became separated from him. It's the frequency just keeps going and going from the highest aspects of God all the way down into this reality. It never stops. It didn't stop. So when God created light, when God created the fish, whatever it is, the energy of that just continues on. Now, how does it go from let there be light, like I explained about the creation from the 25th of Elul, within it contains everything, contains the potential for everything. So how it differentiates from that oneness into all the different things is a whole study. And it has to do with the letters and how the letters switch around and they change and they downgrade. But the truth is that from the Godhead, so to speak, like the essence of God, all the way down to my pen, it's one continual stream of energy that just gets downgraded and downgraded and downgraded until I see this or I see you and we seem separate, like you were saying, just seem separate. But when you understand it's completely united and one at every moment, it's just been hidden as it goes down through the stages. But when we can really meditate on the fact that there is no separation, the separation is in our minds. And the more that we can overcome that and work through that and use our own human experience to break through that, the more we're living this unified oneness. And that's the ultimate purpose of creation. We're supposed to bring that oneness into all of creation. And that's why it says, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. If anyone knows the letters in Hebrew, at the end of Shema, the word Shema, it's a big ayin, the letter ayin. And at the end of Echad, which means one, is a big dalid. So the ayin and the dalid in Hebrew spells aid, a witness. We are a witness to the oneness of God. That's our job. That is the job of the Jewish people, to not get stuck in the separateness, to not get stuck in the fact that we live in a natural reality, because you could get stuck in a natural reality and never get out of that. And you just keep blaming people and just thinking like things randomly happen to you. But you could upgrade. You could completely upgrade for real. You could get connected for real and you could see the infusion of God in everything. And when you live like that, your whole life changes. You just become aware of your power and aware of the godliness in everyone around you. And it's a very happy place. And that's why Bahrain is always happy.
Yeah, you know, I'm obsessed with being happy, but I'm not sure I'm always happy. I just try to be. And when I'm not happy, I know who to blame. Now, the thing that I was thinking about with God recreating the world every single moment is that at any moment, everything could change. Like it's a new reality every single moment. So the problem that we have is that we're so limited and we're living in this continuous moment. I expect certain things to be, and that is contradictory to the way God actually works. Right. Which is, if you can just bypass that lie and understand that everything is being recreated every single second. So your husband's being recreated every single second too. And so 100%. The husband that you're looking at right now is actually not the same husband that was, you know, the one who mistreated or said something or did something or whatever. All husbands are to blame. So it's fine. We can pick them. But the most important understanding is like, can I just pause for a second and recreate my relationship and really see him as who he is now in this moment without adding all the stories and the drama in my head? And you won't believe how amazing that transformation is when you can click into it.
100%. No, that's the work that I do, is helping people deconstruct their stories. And the thing is, a lot of times you might intellectually know, okay, I'm having a story here. But how do you actually break through the story? Because sometimes it's so lodged in your body, in your auras, in your energy field, that it's very hard to change. So I think there's two ways to do that. I think there's, like you were saying, if you could see in this moment who your husband is and kind of like be aligned. One of the things that I do that I think is very powerful is I picture like the yud and the hey and the vav and the hey, which is Hashem's name, which is the breath that God blew into each and every one of us. When you can focus on that part of the people in your life and let the story part kind of fall away, I think in a moment of anger or in a moment of like, I can't deal with this person and the story is still like so affecting me, if I can just break through and just get to that truth, that's one way to do it. That requires practice. You really have to practice to see the godliness in another person. And I highly recommend, because that's renewal. Every time you do that, you're renewing, not only are you renewing yourself, but everything's energetic. So the moment you start focusing on the godliness within another person, it's awakening the energy within themselves, within that other person. So you're actually making a tremendous change in that person. Instead of saying like, I know you, you always do this and you always blame me and you're always doing the same. And you're just, what you're doing is you're just reinforcing that energetic pattern on that person by keep saying like, you always do this. This is your story. What you're doing is you're just energetically stamping like, yes, this is who you are, as opposed to saying, no, wow, you have all this potential and you can be recreated at every moment because you're part of an infinite truth, you know? So that requires practice, and I recommend everybody do that. But then sometimes people are just stuck. They're just stuck in that loop. And that's where I feel like the work that I do can be very powerful, because sometimes people just can't get out of their stuckness. And the truth is, a lot of times the stuckness isn't even coming from them. It's coming from an ancestral, you know, patterning, or it's coming from a past life patterning, or it's coming from a trauma patterning. And sometimes you just get stuck in this loop. The neural pathways just keep going back in that place every single time. Sometimes you need something to break open that pathway and create a new reality. So that's the work that I do. But yeah, there's millions of different ways to do it. But yeah, what you're saying, 100%, you have to get out of your story.
I think this came up in one of our sessions, like, you can fix it yourself or you can let God fix it. What would you like? And you're like, oh, sure, do the work, you know? And it's amazing because we have that choice every single moment. I can either do the hard work myself, or I can open up the opening and be like, God, show me, help me, guide me, do it for me, whatever needs to happen. Let's do it. Right now we're in partnership. Now we're working together. Now we're actually moving forward. It's really fun.
Right. I think a big part of that, though, is believing that God can help you. I mean, I know that sounds silly, but, you know, for people who, you know, I just think about my kids sometimes, you know, they say, well, I already asked God. I asked God and I asked God and he didn't answer me, you know? And so I think that, okay, when you're a kid, it's a different story. When you're an adult, you can kind of broaden the lens and say, well, God answered you. It just might be that you're still stuck in the closet and you're seeing what you want to see. And you don't want to see maybe what God wants you to see, you know? And so there's really like a process of diminishing self. Like, you have to be willing to say, what you're going to show me, I know it's coming from you and I know it's good. Even though it wasn't my version of reality, that's not what I was expecting. But if you kind of go with that and you have trust that that's the right path, then okay, yeah, you're going to find your way out. I mean, like you were saying, you were lying on the ground. Maybe that wasn't like the right way to be in the field. You know, maybe that was the right way to be in the palace, but like that was your way.
Well, it was in the meditation, so it is what it is. You know, you're reminding me of the calm method that I have. So connect to yourself, ask for abundance, listen for the answer, master a higher level of consciousness. What you're saying is step three, listen for the answer. Because when you connect to yourself, you know what you want and you're willing to ask. Step two, ask God for abundance, ask him to help you and show you and really guide you. Then you need to learn to listen. And that's a real skill. And like you said, my kids are just not mature enough to put the dots together and see that he's actually there and listening and following and answering and guiding them. But as adults, we can really learn the skills of listening to God's answers, learn how to read reality so that we can know what to follow. And that's something that we're not taught.
You're totally right. You know, one of the things that I've been really focusing on in my work lately is everybody has the answers inside. How does God communicate with you? He's also communicating with you in yourself. It's not like you have to get the answers from outside of yourself. It's like when you're in the meditation, like the answer comes to you from within. So I think you're 100% right. One of the things that I think we haven't been taught, that if you just say, listen to yourself, just sit quietly. If you have a pain in your body, just ask yourself, like, what is this? What do I need to hear? What are you trying to tell me? There's something that I need to know. I feel like we're always running outside to find the answers because we don't trust the answers from within. And so I think that as we're all kind of ascending in our consciousness, which we all are, it's just God. You know, I heard an amazing, amazing thing that the Geula consciousness, like the Geula was turned on. You know, on your phone, you can like enable something or disable it. Well, I heard that the Geula switch, the general switch for the whole entire world was turned on, like way back 1991. So You can see it. I mean, it's so obvious. For those people who are paying attention, it's so obvious. It's not just obvious for the Jews. It's obvious for all the whole world and all the healing and all the, you know, connecting to the truth and all of these things and all the separation of good and evil, which is coming out in such an intense way. But everyone has to turn it on for themselves.
Even just the words that we're using, you know, higher levels of consciousness and connecting on a deeper level, those are newer things. They're, you know, they are part of this redemption.
Yes, 100%. So the energy of that already exists in the world. And the question is, are we going to turn on our own personal enabling switch? And so I think that's the work that you're doing, the work that I'm doing, is trying to help people to turn their own switches on. And when you learn how to listen to yourself, when you learn, like you said, your calm method, but whatever it is, whatever method you're using, the end of this story is that you have to trust there's a soul inside of you that knows all the answers, because it's coming from God himself, is inside of us. It's such a fundamental thing to realize. The concept of separation in and of itself is a lie. It's just a lie. So anytime we're bumping up against any kind of separation in our life, that trigger of separation should just be like, ding, 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 I got to go deeper. And deeper can mean just deeper into myself and ask the questions. And when you have this understanding, and that's why I personally feel like a huge part of all healing is learning Torah, especially the seekers of the Torah, especially the, what we call the panemius, the inner aspects of the Torah. Because what is that? Why is it so special? Why do we have to learn it? What does it do? It's literally the energy of God's inner self that we get to bring into our human form. Like, hello, that's pretty amazing that we are growing and gaining in our own consciousness, because it's like we have a straw. We're just like sucking God's inner will out into ourselves. It's like nourishing ourselves. So that's how we've been able to ascend to higher levels of consciousness. Not just because the world was like, oh, now we're smarter. It's because God is feeding us this truth. And if you just take your straw and start sipping, you're going to see miraculous changes in yourself. So that's step one. But then step two is you really need a guide. You really, really, really need a guide. And that's where coaches and people who do healing work, and you have to connect yourself to somebody like this, because that's how you're going to supercharge the process. That's my personal opinion. And that's why we need each other, and we need these groups, and we need to have these conversations. This is the juiciness of the Geula. This is the juiciness of redemption, is just like being excited to step into this space and be like, I don't know what's going to come out. Something awesome is going to come out. I remember the first meditation that I did with you, actually, where I'm very visual. This is my work that I do. But I had in one of my energy centers, in my navel energy center, which is like the place of abundance and the place of juiciness and like all that good stuff. I had this, it was like an orange brown topaz. And it was like this gorgeous stone. And when I do my work every day, I have this revolving orange golden topaz that's like rotating in that energy center. And I will say, with God's help and with the guidance of Bahrain, but like my abundance just like went out through the roof. Like I really saw tremendous effects from doing this work. But it's because we have to do the work ourselves. That's what I'm saying. You need a guide. There's no magic bullet here. You need to be open to this ascension in yourself. And the more work that you do in yourself, and the more that you're willing to take the advice of a guide, really with an open heart, you can do anything, really, you know? So, yeah.
Love it. Let's talk about business a little bit, because, you know, God recreating the world is really practical in business sense. It's never an overnight success, and people forget that, but there is something really important with the concept of renewal that you have to be open to it. You know, you have to believe that it's happening. Like you said, belief is a huge thing.
Yeah, you have to know what's possible. And I guess that's another thing that I do just for in my own work, is people don't think things are possible. They just get stuck in a story and they think that's their limitation. And so I love this analogy of the eye of the needle. When you just say, you know what, I don't know. I don't know. In Kabbalah, we have the highest sphera, like the highest channel of energy, which is called Chachma, which means wisdom. But what is wisdom? Wisdom is also, if you switch the letters around, it says koach ma, the potential, the possibility of what? Of what is? You don't know. You're just saying like, I don't know. And the minute you make a space for I don't know, who knows what's going to come in? You're getting out of the way. Otherwise, it says, where is God? Everywhere that you allow him in. If we're just operating on the place of nature and we think we're stuck in our stories and we think we're stuck in our, you know, this is what happened to my mother and this is what happened. This is just my reality. And I know that's being stuck in a lie. Like we said, that's the separation. The minute you just say like, I don't know, I'm making a space, I'm opening that little hole. Get ready. Get ready.
I see it all the time. I think it was you who said, even before I asked, I got off this call with you and I got a call from a client or something similar to that.
Yeah.
It was so fun to see the immediate effects of the work that we did that had nothing to do with what we were, you know, you think it has nothing to do. That's the whole lie about like, oh, I have different parts of my life. It's like, no, you work here and this thing fixes itself and you do this and over there something happens and you change yourself and someone else suddenly changes. We are so connected that we don't even comprehend how connected we are. And I love what you said about what is possible. What is possible? You know, if something was possible, what would it be? What would I want? What, you know, it's so energizing.
It's amazing. I actually was working on a client the other day and she has TMJ and she was talking about, she was like bracing against life. And I was just like, what would it be like if you weren't bracing against life? Like, what would your life look like? Because we get so stuck in like response mode. We're constantly reacting instead of just seeing like, what's possible? Koach ma. What is there? And again, this is like one of the things I don't feel like we're taught these tools. Just to ask, what would it look like if I wasn't bracing against life? What would it look like? What would it look like in my business? What would it look like in my relationship? Just to even write, like I love the, you know, the whole journaling concept and also putting it into words. The words themselves, when you speak, it changes the frequency of reality. Like you were saying, we were talking and our conversation itself changed some frequency that allowed new openings to come out. So I just, yeah.
Yeah. I want to take a moment to address the fact that we haven't been taught this and to make that okay. Because like you said, there's a time for everything and there is a journey that we're on in a world level of a redemption, of a higher level of consciousness, of an understanding, of a light that's coming in. And it's possible that we weren't taught because they just didn't have these tools to teach us. It's possible that, you know, it's not their fault. It was just the frequency of the world at that time. You know, we're growing up, we still think of ourselves as little kids or, you know, teenagers. Like there was once a meme of this lady cutting salad and suddenly she looks up and she's like, I know. And then it says in big letters, I still think I'm living in New York, you know, as a single woman, but I have all these kids and making all these meals and doing all these things. Like in ourselves, we still think of ourselves as something we are stuck somewhere else and our brain is constantly going back and forth. Like, wait, does this match up? Does it make any sense that I'm now standing here with 8 kids, right? Like, huh? And we don't realize that, yeah, that version of myself needed to hear those things at that time. And everything that happened to me between the time I was born until this moment is preparing me for the next level. And there is no way for you to learn the skills that you need in order to listen, in order to hear. If you didn't go through all that other stuff of blame and shame and annoyed and whatever, you can't bypass life. You can't bypass any part of the journey. And so it's okay that you weren't taught. And it's really important for you to pick up on what you're being taught right now or seek the skills that you need in order to fill yourself up to be able to go to the next level.
Brilliant. And I want to say, like, this is another place where I can say, like, wow, I was not aligned. When we say we weren't taught, God wasn't ready for us to be taught. We weren't supposed to be taught, because if we were supposed to be taught, we would have been taught. And this is just another place where you can get so granular in understanding yourself and seeing how your old ways of thinking are still embedded. And that's where it's just, I think life can be very exciting, because you're just like, every conversation is just like, yeah, I'm still stuck in that paradigm, but I get it. I'm witnessing the new paradigm unfolding and like, oh my gosh, that's so cool. You know what I'm saying? And then, you know, I think an old version of myself would have been like, yeah, I said that. It wasn't right. And Bahrain had to say like, no, we weren't taught for a reason. And a part of me would have been like, gosh, I'm not perfect. Like, I should have been able to say that, you know? But I'm like, wait, this is so cool. This is so cool. A, I can get over my perfectionism. B, I can recognize God is creating the world at every minute. C, I can realize, wow, I'm so ultimately trainable, able to go up to this next version of consciousness, and I'm having fun.
Yeah, I think the coolest thing about coaching with me is that people are having fun. And a lot of people say that. It's like, your energy is so different than mine. I do not know how you made this so easy and so fun, because I would have been on the floor crying. It's really about the ease and the understanding that we get to decide if this is going to be hard or easy.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. And that's based on our old stories.
Yeah.
If our stories were, it's hard, life's hard, you have to slug through it. But you know what? That's also a story. And that's what I think is so awesome about you, because you're saying, okay, something new is possible. You're saying it's possible to go through this and be happy. You don't have to cry and rip your heart out and no, you don't have to do that. You could if you want, but you have a choice. And I think that's what's so powerful about you. Sometimes I'm looking at your videos and I'm just, where is she coming from? Like, what is this show that she's like, I'm like, shut up already. Like, enough with the happiness. But what you're doing is you're opening the eye of the needle for that energy to enter into the collective experience. Seriously, it's like you're doing a service for everybody by being so happy, by the way.
Thank you. You know, I used to get a lot, oh, I hate you for being so happy, or you're too happy, something's wrong with you. And I thought to myself, wait, so is it a bad thing or a good thing? Like, I don't know, maybe I'm supposed to lower the volume or something. Like, excuse me, people, please don't lower the volume on yourself, because, you know, I had to learn to be happy in the fullest form, like really be myself and enjoy the moment and vocalize how happy I am. And, you know, maybe you have to be extra empathetic, and that's the thing that makes you so unique. And maybe the next person has to really be logical in the way that they are for a reason. And we're all here together doing this thing, because in this workshop that I was in, she said, everybody is going to say what they want to bring to the table, not only for themselves, but for the entire collective. And I thought that was so brilliant, because just because I wanted to bring in flow and colorfulness, you know, those were the things that came up for me. The next lady said she's bringing in abundance and this like golden sprinkle energy. And I was like, yeah, I'll take that too. You know, as a, you don't even know what you're open to receiving when you're part of a collective. And that's one of the things that I think is really important, and why I do these podcasts with other people, is there's something so powerful about being friends with, having people to turn to, just being in that collective that is able to speak high level language, and we get each other. Because it's very isolating if you're surrounded by all these regular people to be like, oh, you know, that's weird. You say you talk to God, like whatever, right? There's such a awkward energy that can make you lower your volume. And that's the thing that I'm here to fight. Don't lower the volume on yourself. Please, please, if anything, open it up and show the world what's possible.
Right. Beautiful. 100%. 100%. Yeah. I mean, look, we're really lucky. We're in a tribe. We're in a very amazing tribe of these holy Jewish women living in Eretz Israel, like trying to heal the world. We really live it, you know, thank God. Thank God every moment. But it's so not exclusive. Like, that's what's so cool about it. It's like everybody can come in and anybody can come in. And it's like we're available for each other and for everyone at any moment. And so it makes me sad, like, for the people in America who feel like they don't have a tribe. you know, this is a friend of mine that I know. She's not religious. She's kind of like off in this like very materialistic reality. And she doesn't know how to break in or where to come in. And I'm just like, come to the tribe, like come in our tribe. Our tribe is big enough for everybody. And it's Miriam's circle, you know, it's the Jewish women. We all held, you know, held hands with our instruments and singing and song. And it's like the place of total expansiveness. It comes from the women. So, yeah. So you have a very big tribe and that should just continue to grow. But I do want to say, you know, going back to what you were saying about each person contributing their own story and adding to the collective energy, as you were saying, like you want people to be happy and to connect to themselves, whatever. And I was just thinking, like your name, Bat Chen, like you're the daughter of Chen, you're the daughter of like that, like beautiful face and that smiling countenance. You know, that's what you bring. I my name's Nechama, like I bring comfort. We all bring like our own energy. And that's the thing. We all have different names. We all have to be who we are. And that's one of the things that I feel, you know, I'm already like in my 50s, you know, like that's one thing that I can say after all this time. Okay. And it's also not just my personal time, but time in the world, like the flow of awakening in the world is like, I'm good. I like myself. I want to be me. I just want to be me. And whoever's going to be attracted to my energy is going to come and be my friend and hang out with me and be with me. I don't want to be trying to be somebody else that doesn't feel authentic and whole in my body. I want to wake up and I want to feel like humming in my own frequency, like being in my own person. And that is what attracts people to each other. It's like when you're yourself, like we have these antennae for what's authentic, you know? So yes. Your smiling is totally authentic.
Now you're making me blush. You know, I want to talk about the fear of success and the fear of failure because they're both the same, you know, they're the same coin. And something that somebody said to me this week when we were working is here we are working. We did a whole session about her fear failures and how failure she is and how she can't make her business work and how she's feeling like it's just, you know, this story from when she was little all the way to now, she's always failing. And of course she's going to fail at this too. And I was like, wait one second. What's going to happen when you actually succeed? It's like, I'm going to have to reinvent myself. I'm going to have to change my whole identity. That's so scary. This is comfortable. I'm okay with being a failure because it's my story. And suddenly she realized she's holding on to being a failure and not succeeding in business because it's so comfortable. It's what she knows. It's the story of her parents. It's the struggle. And it made me realize how the concept of renewal is so important here too. Allow yourself to recreate yourself, to be the successful version of yourself, to be the open, allowing, flow, expansion, the capacity for abundance. Just open yourself up. And I say just, it's not just, but it's in a blink of an eye. It's as soon as you let it happen. It's as soon as you open up the possibility.
Yeah. I mean, what I like about that is I feel like if I'm open to that, it's not me. I'm not doing it. I feel like the minute you open up, it's the energy of God that's doing it. It's the energy that's coming through you. It's the soul powers, which are infinite. If I feel like I have to do it, then it's stuck in the limitations and constraints of what it means to be human. I mean, that's the thing about faith. What makes faith so cool is it is beyond the limitations of our humanness. Our intellect cannot grasp the concept of faith. It's not possible. It has a limitation. Our emotions can only go so far. Our emotions have a limitation. But faith has no limitation. And so it doesn't have a limitation in terms of how great I could become. And it doesn't have a limitation of how I could mess it up. It's not about me. I'm just making the space for something bigger than me to come in. And that to me is so exciting because I don't have to define it. I don't have to shape it because that, again, I'm putting my own limitations on it. So I just want to go back to that whole concept of opening the eye, opening the little teeny weeny 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 little needle and just saying, go ahead. I don't know. Whatever it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, show me. While you were talking, I was thinking it's not that we create, it's that we move out of the way to allow it to finally flow. You know, right. There is the difference between creating the faucet and connecting it to the water and making it flow to just removing the blockage. It's like, right. Isn't that so much easier if we understand that we don't have to do the whole installation of everything? We just gotta move out of the way, understand it's not about us, let go of control, controlling the results, controlling what's going to happen, controlling how it's supposed to happen. Just let it be. It's so much better this way for us, for them, for everybody. It's amazing.
It is amazing. And you know what? God guides us in this also, because our bodies, if we're still holding on, like we could be coached and have all this stuff, but if we still feel like we're clenching or our shoulders are tight or something's not in flow, like we have constant messages from our body telling us how we're doing, you know? And if we're still clenching, even though you're like, yeah, I'm going to let go, but I'm walking around like this, like you didn't let go. So it's like, okay, there's another layer to let go of. And it's just constant, you know, it's just forever. You just go deeper and deeper and deeper until we're flowing in some kind of amazing redemptive truth for everybody all the time. Yeah. But you know what? I want to just say one more thing that in terms of business, and I learned this and this really blew me away. I was learning something from the Lubavitcher Rebbe, and he was explaining that when Mashiach comes, God still is going to want us to work, because it is the work itself, the process of using the physical reality that God wants us to be engaged with. Yes, he's going to open the pipelines and who knows what kind of amazing things are going to flow through. But just work in and of itself has the benefit. It's what God wants from us. He wants us to work. Okay, you can work in the house. You could work out of the house. You could do this. You could do that. But to think like work is somehow bad. It's hard. It's too much. No, that's what God, he wants us to work. And it's just like how you think about what's the possibility of work. If the possibility of work is I'm just a channel, I am just going to be this amazing open channel. I'm just going to be totally letting go of control. I'm just going to be totally like a pipeline of whatever and let it all flow through me. But I'm still doing the work. That's one kind of work. Another kind of work is like I have to control and I have to figure out this and I have to do that. And it's so hard. And okay, you're still working, but you miss the point.
Oh, yes. You know, there's every so often, there's the question, if you didn't have to work, what would you do? And there's all these people who say, I would still do the exact thing I do now, you know, because if you're really enjoying what you're doing, and if you understand that there is a purpose to where, why you're showing up, then it's not work.
It's flow. It's called flow, because you're just a channel. And that's why you can be happy and you can be chill and you can let things go. And then you see miraculous things are coming through you. And that's where you're just like, wow, this is awesome.
It is awesome. I love it. This was an awesome conversation. And our time is up, which makes me a little sad because I love hanging out with you. And I'm sure the listeners are going, oh no, it came to an end. Where can people find more of you and work with you?
I, Baruch Hashem, I am only through referrals, so I don't really even have a website at this point. So if you want to reach me, I can give you my phone number. That's the best way to reach me. If you want to hear my teachings, I'm on Chabad.org. Or if you want to learn Tanya with me, which I do every week, I'm happy to add you to my list. I have recordings, whatever. But the best way to reach me is, I think, just through my phone number. So I can give it to you.
Great. And there you go. Now I'm the referral. I refer people to you. You guys should know Nechama is definitely legit, and I highly recommend working with her if it fits for you and works for your needs. So definitely go for it.
Great. Mm. Thank you. I just want to wish you a year of the best kind of renewal.
Ah, love it. I'm so ready for the renewal.
Yeah, we all are.
I think we all are. We had a really, really tough year and we're ready for it. So God, please rain all the abundance and all the goodness and make it. Oh, you know what I heard once that was so beautiful? A lady on the bus was talking on the phone right before Rosh Hashanah, and I was single still. I remember this was so long ago. And she said, I bless you that this year be as sweet as honey, because it's obviously going to be good. But we say Shana Tova Umetuka, a good year that's sweet, right? We want to see, we want to know, we want to understand, we want to taste the goodness. We don't want to just know in our heads and have faith that it's for our best and look at something that feels like not so good. We want to taste it.
Yeah, thank God. Thank you so much, Bahrain. This was really fun. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you for coming, and thank you all for listening. Make sure you come back next week for more amazing episodes. We have an interview every single week, and this one is up there in my favorites. So thank you for coming.
Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Bye, and have a good year, everybody.
And that's it. Thank you for listening to the very end. I would love if you can leave a review and subscribe to the podcast. Those are things that tell the algorithm this is a good podcast, and make sure to suggest it to others. Wouldn't it be amazing if more people became more connected for real? And now take a moment and think of someone who might benefit from this episode. Can you share it with them? I am Revitzen Batren Grossman from connectedforreal.com. Thank you so much for listening, and don't forget, you can be connected for real.